Thank you all. So I'm with Know the Signs, which is California's statewide suicide prevention social marketing campaign. We're now in our fourth year, and I'm presenting here on behalf of my colleague, Jana Szerspatowski. I get points for pronouncing her name. Nothing to disclose. Funding for this project is provided by most of the 58 counties in California pooled dollars through the Mental Health Services Act, so that we could have the power of some statewide approaches through the California Mental Health Services Authority. The campaign is aimed not at people in crisis themselves, but at their friends and family, the people close to them who are in a position to be potential helpers. And therefore, it is preparing Californians to learn what the signs of risk are, to find the words to offer support, and to reach out to local resources. And we do have a website, suicideispreventable.org, that's also available in Spanish in order to do this campaign. And then it has been a very broad multimedia campaign to drive people to the website. So this is just quickly showing you a couple of the campaign materials. These two were designed to reach helpers of white men in the middle years, which is, of course, as in every state, the largest demographic of individuals who die by suicide. So we have Barbecue Bob over on one side that the tagline is, "Surrounded by friends, never felt so alone," to show that isolation. And then Bowling Alley Guy, "Behind closed doors, I'm falling apart." These have been very popular in the rural parts of California in particular. Many of the counties then have taken the materials and adapted them for use in their own communities. So these show some, the color one up top is a subway ad in the BART in San Francisco. There's a bus ad in Humboldt County. The lower left is online in San Diego County. And then on the right, that one is interesting because that actually was printed on bags given out at the pharmacy when you picked up medication. In Glenn County, and it's also been done in some other counties, so that whatever kind of medication you were getting when you picked it up at the pharmacy, you had some suicide prevention information on that bag. I'm not presenting on research, but you should know that RAND has evaluated the campaign and many other aspects of what we've been doing in California. I have one copy of some of their materials here and was happy to see that RAND's booth in the exhibit hall has other copies. So a couple of the findings here. 50% of Californians were exposed to the campaign, which we were pretty happy about because it takes a lot of money to cover a state as big as California. And over 9,000 Californians have participated in gatekeeper trainings. So we do feel like overall we are strengthening the safety net in the state. So I want to focus particularly, though, on the cultural adaptation process. This ties in nicely to Wyatt's, that in addition to the two samples that I was showing you, we adapted materials for African-American communities, for LGBTQ youth, for Native American. And then I'm focusing today on outreach materials for, in these seven languages, for community members. So our process was, first, we examined results from a statewide survey that we had conducted, which was based on a survey that had been previously used by Dr. Julie Sorrell in Kentucky. Of course, we consulted the literature on both risk and protective factors for those communities. And then we identified those counties in California that had high populations of each community and partnered with cultural organizations in those counties. And it was really important for us that this was a collaborative process with community input at the front end and at the back end. So these cultural organizations, they coordinated focus groups. They formed work groups for input. They reviewed everything we did. It was not unusual to go through 20 iterations of a material to get it right. They adapted the materials, they translated and back-translated again, and then last but not least, those same cultural brokers created dissemination plans so that we could then, with the help of these trusted distributors, actually reach the intended audiences. Because there's no good in going through that whole process if then you can't actually get your materials out to the people. So as an example, for Korean language, the five counties were Alameda, which is the Oakland area, LA, Orange County, San Francisco, and Santa Clara, sort of Palo Alto. Those were the five counties that had the highest concentrations of Korean population, and we then sought out cultural organizations and found them in three of those five counties. So backing up for a moment, so when we did the statewide survey and looked at the results for the API respondents, they were less likely to feel that they would be supported by family and community if they wanted to discuss this topic. They were more likely to report that they would find it difficult to approach someone who might be suicidal, and they were less likely to have heard of the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, 1-800-273-8255. In general, greater stigma was found in these communities, and that's been true of mental illness in general, not just in suicide. Youth in particular report a lot of difficulty in discussing these kinds of problems with their families. So as a result, our materials were adapted to emphasize actions that weren't just find help, but things like, in the Chinese language one, to console them and let them understand that asking for help was not shameful. It was important to bring that aspect of shame out into the open sometimes. Or in Vietnamese, to assure them that it's not embarrassing to seek help. So this map actually shows for the African American process that we did, and just is color-coded to show you the counties that had the highest African-American populations. So that just describes the work group process, and we did provide a stipend, which we think was important as well. We then went through online discussions as well as focus groups, and all of those discussions are housed on a website that I'll show you at the end. We had an introductory webinar for the participants, and then we allowed them to engage through whatever formats worked best for them, email, phone, online discussions, webinars. We also had focus groups and used copywriters who were adept in language. These show some of the community partners that we turned to. We recruited these partners through a variety of methods, including that counties in California have ethnic service managers who work in the county government, and also references from the county behavioral health agencies, our program partners, and we sent flyers to organizations to recruit people to be in these work groups. When we did that work group, this gives some sample of the kinds of topics that we asked about. Again, a little bit similar to Wyatt, but larger numbers. We asked how the topic of suicide is discussed or avoided, who they perceived as being at risk for suicide, and who are the most appropriate helpers in a position to recognize warning signs. And it frequently was identified as being women in the community and older women in the community. So that helped us figure out what kind of images we should put on the materials. We also asked them if they knew of any existing materials in their community and what they thought were the best strategies to reach the person who could be trusted to provide help. Adapting in language is a long and arduous process, but well worth it. The existing materials were based on the ASSIST model, and we started with that brochure, and then we adapted it as much as we needed to. And as you can see, we also focus group tested them. And we also asked about a lot of things like colors, cultural icons and symbols. Again, going off of Wyatt's presentation, so for example, in our African-American poster, there is a grandmother in the background, and it was very important to the workgroup members that she be wearing a little cross around her neck. So you look at that detail, she's wearing a little gold cross. that was felt to be very important. By the way, I do have examples of some of the posters and brochures up here, and you're welcome to come up and take a look afterwards. So I'll give a couple of examples for the Korean community. Many of the community members turn to mental health services as a last resort after first going to many other sources for support. Many folks didn't know where to find help or resources, and of course, resources in language is a big challenge. Luckily, the D.D. Hirsch Center in Los Angeles does provide Korean language help. Suicide is often seen as a taboo topic. It's seen as a weakness, but also as a tragedy. And people thought that the warning signs might display not as depression so much, but as remorse, that people can't do more for their loved ones. In Khmer, the work group added another warning sign that isn't in the typical one in English, which is feeling stuck. And also added a new action, which was, it is a legacy to make your family and friends stay safe, make them trust that there's no shame, excuse me, in seeking help. Here's some from a Filipino example. Members of the work group said that the topic was considered taboo, but they also thought that that was changing, that it was being covered in Filipino language media, much more so in recent years, especially up in the San Francisco area. In this community, folks were more likely to reach out to their pastors and church communities, so that gave us some ideas of how to distribute the materials. And in a work group in San Diego in particular, they said, don't use words like mental illness or even mental health, but just describe what it feels like. Don't give us that language. Tell us how it feels, which frankly I think is a good idea in English as well. So this kind of messy slide, the top half is one side of the brochure, which folds into a quatrofold. And then the bottom part shows the inside, which again is based on this Know the Signs, which lists the most common warning signs that are agreed upon and are very generic. Find the words and reach out. And as you can see in the upper right, the Lifeline phone number is always on there. And then here is how it got changed for Tagalog, for the Filipino community. It is both in English and in language. And in every case, we did it that way based on the work groups because they felt that younger people were often bilingual. Older folks in the community might not be. But they asked for the resources to be available in both languages, so we did that. So these brochures are much larger than the original English language one. Almost all of them have pictures of women on them, and the age really changes. In some of the communities, the woman is much older than in other ones. This gives a little screenshot. So we created posters in all of the languages. Brochures that were bilingual, postcards in some cases, little tent cards, the kind that can fit in your wallet. We created print ads that could run in language newspapers, for example. And then in Hmong only, we created ads for television and radio because a large proportion of the Hmong only speaking population also does not read in Hmong. We found in California, but there are television programs and radio programs that we were able to reach them through that way. And then finally, for the API youth only, we did an online ad. All the materials can be downloaded from the resource center of this website, yourvoicecounts.org. And I also wanted to say that when I was uploading the handouts for this session, I uploaded a little flyer that describes what I just told you is the process in one page and then gives little snapshots of the materials for each of these seven communities on the other side, and so that can be a handy-dandy resource for you as well. And I'm ahead of time and happy to take questions. Thank you. Yes?
I'm Steven Vince. I'm a social media researcher at UIC with the Health Media Collaboratory. Before that, I was in suicide prevention. I am also an facilitator of the workshops. So when you mentioned that, it caught my ear. I know that they're a global network, and you said you modified their material, like that was kind of the basis. to start from, and then you modified it as much as you needed to. And then I was just wondering if you shared it, I'm not sure they know, like they can access it here. But.
Well, yeah, let me back up. We didn't, the campaign basic strategy of know the signs, find the words, reach out is modeled on an assist approach. But we didn't take any one material from LivingWorks, which runs Assist, and modify that. But more, yeah, and we did, of course, we did it in conjunction with them. We actually were originally hoping to put some of the Assist video clips on the site, but ran into some difficulties with that. So, but mostly I was trying to indicate that we didn't like start from scratch. We turned to known resources in the community when we built this campaign in the first place. And Assist was one of those approaches that we thought was very solid for how to reach a lay person with simple enough information that they can then put to use. And actually, if you go on the website, when you reach the end, because it's sort of sequential, we encourage you to find Assist trainings or other kinds of gatekeeper trainings in your community, and there's a page for each county as well. Yes. So she's asking about evaluation. So we haven't, unfortunately, we don't have the resources to evaluate each individual component, but RAND has evaluated the overall Know the Signs campaign, as well as many of the other components of what we've been doing in California. So that's what I was referring to. And there's a flyer up here that shows some of the RAND findings. They were asking for the campaign, they were asking questions about how people were exposed and then also their knowledge and their likelihood to take action, which is also what we had asked about in our baseline survey, so we actually had some comparability there. And in general, I mean, the key part there is asking about exposure was a good proxy, because when we did our baseline survey, we found that if you knew of a resource, you were more likely to say that you would take action. So that led us to think, well, if we tell people about resources and educate them more that there are resources available, that there are crisis centers that they can call and so forth, that will improve their feelings of competence enough to take action. Yes, and then I'll get you next. Well, I like your vision. Tell the feds. CalMESA, our funder, the Mental Health Services Authority, is very interested in talking with other states and is in conversation with them. That said, I wouldn't want to just take this and say, here you go, Massachusetts. You've got some Asian people. Use this. Because that goes against everything that I just said about using the process. So there's that. There's also the fact that some of the images are licensed images, so there's some licensing issues that need to be worked out. Although many of the ones in these adaptations are illustrations rather than photos, again, based on input, and the photos are a little bit more of a problem than the illustrations are. So the short answer is yes, we're very interested in having those conversations with other states. I'll take one more question and then.
I said it was a short question. So the first question was, did the numbers and the helpline go up after the campaign? Did the numbers go up? Did people call in more?
Did the numbers to the helpline go up? Yes, but There's so many problems with that, because is that a good thing or a bad thing? That more people are help seeking and more people are calling the crisis line, does that show that there's more people in crisis as the economy worsened, blah, 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 and the drought and climate change and all those other things? Or is that a good thing because there's more help seeking going on and people aren't feeling as stigmatized? So that's one issue. The second issue is that even though you can call Lifeline in many languages, for many languages there's an extenuated process of getting to a translator, so it is not ideal to send people to what's basically an English language crisis line and then have them try to find their way to an appropriate source. So yes, it went up, but I can't say it went up because of the campaign. You know, if we knew that it was more calls by the helpers rather than people in crisis, maybe, but I can't say that for sure.
So that ties into my next question. And the last question that I attended, people said the stuff that we're doing a lot, like the cancer, and like, you know, the people. So is there any movement in America to train the clergy of the church or the temple or the masters and mosques to, like, you know, train them in suicide prevention or in awareness? Do you know any?
Yes. Yes, and the short answer is the National Action Alliance on Suicide Prevention, which is a public-private partnership at very high levels, they have a task force on the faith community, and if you Google them, you will find a lot of resources there for many different faith communities, and I can also tell you some more stuff afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you, Mara.